right, welcome everybody. We are going to go ahead and get started. If you've been with us the past couple of weeks, it's going to be very similar today. I'm just waiting for the week where I can come on here and say, look, we have a clear path. We have some things we can do. Here's a plan. Here's what we should be working on. We're just not there yet. Every week I keep thinking something will happen. The best we can say now is we are at least starting to open up the economy and we'll be able to see the effects of that. And there's two things we're looking at, really. How does it affect the virus? Are we going to see a lot more cases? Are we going to see more deaths? Because if we do, there's going to be a lot of pushback towards shutting things down again. The other thing we need to watch is the economy. Right now, the belief is that the economy was so strong, the fundamentals were still there, that once we open up the economy, this will take off again. I'd love to believe that's true, but I'm not so sure it is. And again, I don't want to be the negative voice about this all the time, but we do have to face reality. Oh, let me tell you this. I only have about 5 minutes of stuff to talk about, really. There just isn't much. And then we're going to go to questions. And we don't have a lot of people on this call right now, so we may not have a lot of questions. So look around your screen, and you should see Q&A somewhere. Go ahead and start typing in your questions, because that's really what we're here for. Like I say, I don't have anything new to present in these, and I don't know when I will. And we decided that even if there was nothing new that week, we were still going to hold one to be able to answer more questions. Because honestly, on the radio show right now, we are just slammed between the segments that we want to keep doing, the Power Hour and Rolling Toe, and the new segments we've added, and all the questions we just... I feel like I run out of time every single day. So we thought we'd at least add another hour of questions. But if there aren't a lot of questions, I guess really doesn't make sense to do this. Right now I have none. So I'll kind of put out a couple things here, what I'm thinking, and then we'll get to questions if you've got them. So I don't think that we're going to get any clear direction anytime soon. I think we'll get some information now that we've opened this, but I don't know that it's going to be enough to make any decisions. And now what we're hearing are a couple of things. One, we're hearing about the second wave. And we're hearing about it in a couple different ways. A second wave because we open up the economy and we're in contact with each other again, which is possible. And a second wave in the fall where they believe this could be seasonal the way the flu is. And if it is, then we would expect cases to start picking up again sometime after Thanksgiving. We've talked about why the flu can be seasonal, and there's a lot of reasons. One of them, vitamin D levels go down in the wintertime. There seems to be a pretty clear correlation there. We are locked up inside more, inside buildings, inside cars, so it spreads easier. We know that viruses don't do well in intense sunlight. And in the wintertime, we don't have as much as intense sunlight. The fact that we tend to live less healthy lifestyles during that time, all of the excess eating and drinking and parties, whether or not we'll have those this year, I don't know. So there's this talk now of a second wave. That really throws a wrench into this because there's at least half the country that if there is a second wave, they are going to want to shut down again. And we it's very, very difficult right now to predict. So all we can really do is focus on what we can control. And that has been our theme from day one. I wish there was more to focus on. I wish more things were in our control right now, or that we had more information to make better decisions about the things that are in our control right now, but we just don't. We just have to deal with what we can. So we've talked about three areas: your health, which you have tons of control over. So if you're feeling out of control and you want to work on something, work on your health. That is totally in your control. Your business, well, maybe not so much, but look around at the things in your business you can control. And the same with your money. You may not be able to make huge changes right now in your business or your personal finance, but you can make changes. Look around and whatever you can work on. If you don't have good accounting, get it. If you don't know your net worth, go calculate it. If you don't have a budget, take this time and create one. Those are all things that you can still control. And of course, keep eating right or start eating right wherever you are. Those two breaking events from several weeks ago, still unanswered. We still don't know what the reopening is going to look like. And it's looking more and more like that actually was a problem in the lab in China. And I know a lot of people aren't talking about that. And I think the reason I'm watching it, I think that can be an absolute game changer. If we prove that, everything's going to change. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but I think that really is a big issue. And I'm shocked that mainstream media really isn't talking much about it. So I'll keep you updated on those. And I guess really for right now, we are just going to get to Q&A. We've got some in there. I'll start answering them and you can keep typing your questions. I may ask you for a follow-up. If I do, just retype right back in to the Q&A window and we'll just keep going until you run out of questions to ask. All right, from Steve, I am purchasing new trailer tires next week. Do you recommend balance beads in the trailer tires? Yeah, I really do. All tires, it's so easy and it avoids those out of balance conditions and the bounces. And it's really a tiny cost when you think about the cost of the tires. I would throw them in. From Nancy, does the payroll portion of the PPP include employer payroll taxes and IRA match? No clue. I'm trying to remember what I've read about this. You're going to submit all of your payroll records, which has the employer match on there. You know what? I think the employer match is included. Is it seems to me like it was calculated just from total payroll, which I would think the IRA match would be included as well. Nancy, are you asking this from the employer? I need some follow-up from that. Are you asking as an employer, so you have employees and you have an IRA match that you pay them? Is that the situation? And you can just type that back in and I'll get to it when I get back down to the bottom. And honestly, Nancy, I'm not going to have a good answer for you on that. I just, the details on this loan have been all over the board. I just don't remember seeing those. Let's go to Chris. He has a question about meditation. I've heard you say to get to a meditative state, you need to be thinking about nothing. If you can recognize nothing, isn't it now something? Bingo. It is, Chris. This is why it's so damn complicated, because you can't allow your mind to identify that you're thinking about nothing. It's a very, very difficult concept to explain. And that's why I think the Muse headband that signals that you're in the meditative state without you thinking. But I'll tell you, every time the headband goes off with the birds and you know you got to that state, in the beginning, you will fall right back out of that state. You'll hear the bird and then the noise will come right back. Happens to almost everybody, because when you heard the bird, your mind reacted with a thought. And you have to work on not having a thought, not even having a thought that I'm in the meditative state. You have to be in the state without thinking that you're in the state. So that's a really good question. And it is one of the things that confuses people. And it's, you'll know it when you experience it, but it's very hard to describe to somebody else. Let's see. From Andrew, when doing keto, does calorie count matter? I'm gonna say no, but it does in a roundabout way. But here's why we don't focus on it. Every other diet in existence, everything I've ever seen, focuses on calories because we believed that it was an easy math equation. This many calories came in, this many calories went out, and if you follow this, you'll lose weight, except it doesn't work because we're not machines. So that law of thermodynamics that this is modeled after applies to machines. It doesn't work in the human body. Now, do calories equate to weight? Yes, they do. Our formulas are probably not very accurate, but calories can matter. But we don't talk about them, we don't focus on them, we don't count them. Because if you're trying to count calories and then trying to deprive yourself of those calories to lose weight, it doesn't work. It's more about hormones. So when we eat the right food, low carb, we don't spike insulin, so we're not affecting the appetite that way. If we're eating nutrient-dense keto, we're getting the nutrition our body needs, so we won't spike appetite that way. And our weight will normalize when we eat if we're hungry. And if you're hungry, keep eating until you're not hungry anymore. And I don't worry about the calories. But if I'm not hungry, I don't eat. And look, you know, for 100,000 years, we didn't count calories to be thin and lean. We just ate real food and we were somewhat active. We didn't go to the gym and spend 3 hours on the treadmill. We were active. We didn't count calories. How did all of those people manage their weight so perfectly all those years if they didn't even know what a calorie was? So that's my point of not focusing on them. It doesn't work, and it will work itself out when you eat correctly. From Chris. If I can ask a couple questions, is there a time to let up on saving cash on hand to pay down debt? There is. I don't think we're there now. And the reason I say that is because cash right now is king. Debt we can put off for a little while without huge implications. It's not ideal, but I think that for right now, since we can't see the end of this, I'm more likely to leave some debt sitting out there and just make payments on it and hold on to and hoard my cash for a while. Cash allows me to respond to opportunities quicker. Cash allows me to put food on the table if things really get ugly. I'm going to live with the fact that, yeah, I get it. I have some finance charges. It hurts right now. This is another one of those tough decisions. It's not saying it's a good decision. It's just the lesser of two evils right now. So I think until we can see the end of this, until we can see our way out of the forest, I would lean more towards holding on to cash still and not try to pay down too much debt until we see our way out of this. Steve, health question. Can you explain belching? Is some normal? I'm almost going to say that the only time I think belching is probably normal is when you're drinking something carbonated, because that's clearly introducing gas into the stomach that will try to get back out. And that's what a belch is, escaping gas. If you're not drinking something carbonated, we really shouldn't be building up gas in our stomach or upper intestine. That's just not the normal process of digestion. Most people find that when they start eating real food and not eating a lot of junk and not eating grains, when they're eating real nutrient-dense food, gas issues go away from top to bottom, really. And occasionally people with good, clean digestion eating real food may have some gas, but honestly, it usually doesn't even smell. It really does change. Gas, you know, and I've been told by medical professionals my whole life, gas is normal. You should have, no, it's really not. That is fermenting food. And if it's in our upper digestion, so we're belching, that's not a good sign. In fact, it's one, just one of the signs of SIBO. From Greg, the PPP loan, does it go on your gross on the 1099? No, it doesn't. It goes off of your net Schedule C from your tax return. So after all expenses, net Schedule C, which means we deduct depreciation, per diem, fuel, maintenance, tolls, all of those things. When you come up with your net, then you are going to be able to borrow 8 times your weekly net. So whatever you net in a week or in a month, you would be able to get 2 times your monthly net, not gross. All right. So from Chris, is there any benefit to having a water canner if I buy a pressure canner? I feel that they will sell out soon as all the garden center supplies sold out early here. Depending, your pressure canner might work as a water bath canner. So look to see if you can set it up and use it that way. I bought a water bath canner and I haven't used it yet. And the more I look at water bath canning, the kind of stuff I'm going to do, I'm going to pressure can even though it's not necessary. So for example, I made some apple butter the other day. Now it is completely safe to water bath apple butter. But honestly, it's more work because when you water bath, you need to sterilize all of your stuff, jars, lids, seals, and that sterilization process and then not touching it again and keeping enough water in the water bath canner. That's actually more work. I got looking at apple butter and I don't worry about apple butter being overcooked. That's the difference. In pressure canning, we're going to cook it hotter and a little longer. But in apple butter, it's not going to matter. It's going to be the same quality and the same texture. And honestly, for me, even though I could water bath can that, I'm going to pressure can it just because it's easier. I don't have to mess around with all the sterilization and all those other things. The next project I'm working on to pressure can or to can is barbecue sauce. I could water bath can it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to pressure can it because honestly, for me, I think it's easier. The one time where I may really look at water bath canning is at the end of the summer if I have a lot of extra produce from the garden and some of it can be water bath canned like tomatoes and some other things. I will probably use water bath for vegetables I don't want overcooked. But for the most part, I'm just skipping water bath and doing all pressure canning. Nancy, yes. So, Nancy, yes, meaning she does have employees and she is doing a IRA or 401k match. Boy, Nancy, I wish I had an answer for that. I just don't remember seeing that being addressed. Here's what I know though. All you're really going to have to do is submit all of your payroll reports. They will figure it out from there. Part of the form, they actually had me calculate what I thought my loan amount was going to be. And I was actually off by about $3,200. And I never went back to look to see why I was off, but they corrected it. So I must have been using a wrong number from one of my reports to calculate it, and they corrected it anyway. So my best advice, really, find a good bank and just start submitting the documents, and they seem to get all this stuff figured out. Let's see. My son is 35 and has Tourette's syndrome. Do you know anything about this and what could help? I don't know a lot. I know what Tourette's is. I don't know a lot about it. I haven't really studied it, but it is a neurological condition. So my first go-to would be strict keto, because keto has been shown to improve a lot of neurological conditions, including seizures. So it's very low carb, very strict keto is a powerful neurological modulator. So I have no history, or I haven't seen any cases about keto and Tourette's. But again, I'm just going on the fact that it is neurological. Keto is really good for neurological conditions, and there's certainly no downside to try it. Let's see, from Chaz, what's your opinion on AirDog versus FAST? I had a FAST on my N14 and never saw any gains from it. Both of them are, the idea is correct. We need to get air out of fuel. Without doing my own intensive testing, it's hard for me to have an opinion on this. When I first looked at the two products, the reason I chose the FAST was it was what Bruce recommended from Pittsburgh Power. So I went with that one, and it worked most of the time. It's not one of those things we always saw a gain from. It's one of the things we recommended anyway because of the maintenance savings from getting that fuel out, and it's easier on the injectors. And I believe the AirDog also works to do this. I've heard, depending on engine design, sometimes one is better than another. I haven't dug down deep enough into this or tested it to know. But I believe both of those products do have a place. From Peggy, thank you for all that you do. I'm 61 and I've done low fat most of my life. I've been doing keto since September. Sometimes I have a problem, I believe, with fat digestion. I'm currently taking the immune support kit. Can I take the fat digestion kit at the same time? Yeah, you can. I'm thinking through. I don't think there's any conflicts in there. Usually there isn't, and I can't think of anything there. So the immune support kit right now, that's a great kit to be taking. That can help us all. The fat digestion kit has certainly been really good to me. It's helped me in a lot of ways. So yeah, Peggy, I would say go ahead and start taking it. From Kay, I'm thinking the economy will start to perk up, then COVID will pick up again and the economy will dip again. Lather, rinse, repeat. I'm very hopeful that the perk ups will exceed the dips. Boy, it's jumping all over. But will getting out of the house be enough to get people off unemployment and get back to real jobs? How can we support the ag industries, especially farm fresh veggies and fruits, to get them back to profitable production? The meat industry, ouch. Those hotspots at so many processing plants. I'm supporting a semi-local producer processor who raises on their own land and cuts many Southern Arizona grass-fed finished producers. Excellent. Really, Kay, you answered your own question. How do you support the ag industry? I think by moving away from the big processing plants that are getting us into all the trouble because of the way they operate. Those are horrible operations. We've said for decades, they're bad for the animals. They're bad for the planet. They're bad for the people that work there. They're bad for the people that buy their meat from there. So do what you're doing. Support one of those local producer processors. The same with fruits and vegetables. It's summertime. Go look for a CSA in your area. If you can't find a CSA in your area, support some of the national or regional shippers like Imperfect Foods, Ugly Produce. There are several subscription services out there. So CSAs, local producers, subscription services that come from small producers, Let's support them, and then maybe we'll see change. Maybe these big processing plants need to go away. We know that they have a lot of problems, and we're certainly seeing it now. Let's see, Greg, my bank went off the gross of my 1099. I got a loan of 37,000. Going off net, I should have gotten around 11,000. What do you suggest I do about this? Greg, can you answer me a question real quick? Just type it back in. Do you have any employees, or are you a sole proprietor or independent contractor with no employees? And I'll move on to another question while I'm waiting for that. Chris, in your open yesterday, Uber was laying off. How can they do that and say they are only a software company? I'm sure we'll be fighting AB5 again. Chris, I'm assuming that they're laying off employees. They don't use all independent contractors. They have employees in management. They have employees writing code. They have employees in sales. They are a software company. And it takes a lot of employees to run a software company. The customers that they use, they don't lay those off because there's no employment contract. They can work if they want. They don't have to work. So I think the confusion there is that when Uber says they're laying off, that has to be employees. So I'm assuming office, sales, coding, engineers, all that stuff. From Anonymous, my husband has been doing the keto diet for a year and a half. He's 65 and all blood work is good since the diet. He's lost 30 pounds, but cannot lose any more weight. What else can he do? This is pretty common. I'll just go through the big things we see that can block weight. Stress can block weight. And certainly people are under a lot more stress right now. So we always have to look seriously at that. Poor digestion. If you have any digestive symptoms, we might need to work on digestion to start weight loss again. Fasting sometimes can help. Some intermittent fasting or some short 24 to 48 hour fast can sometimes jumpstart that. And if all else fails, or if you just want to narrow this down quickly, you can go to our website, letstruck.com, sign up for a one-on-one. Then we can do the NutriQ. We can look at some numbers. We could look at a few food journal, and we can probably figure out what's caused the stall and get him going again. Let's see. Anonymous. Is it important to drink water for weight loss with keto diet? Let's just take the first part of that sentence. It's important to drink water. Without water, we die. So the keto diet doesn't change that. We still need water to be healthy. The question becomes how much water? And that's where most of the advice I see is just wrong. You need 8 ounces of this many glasses and multiplied by this. And if you drink coffee, that's a diuretic. So you have to add 50% more in and do it by your body weight. And all of that's garbage. And here's the reason. If I am a couch potato sitting at a computer all day working in an air-conditioned office, I need a lot less water than somebody who is out on a really, really hot, dry day in the desert Southwest working outside for 10 hours. There's no formula that would ever work for those two cases. And then we have everybody else in between somewhere. So don't try to drink a certain number of ounces or all these formulas. There are a couple ways to know whether you're dehydrated or not. If you're thirsty, you're dehydrated. When we feel thirst, that's the body saying, hey, you needed water a long time ago. So if you are always thirsty, you're probably dehydrated. Start drinking more. If your urine is dark colored and has a stronger odor, you're probably dehydrated. Now, if it's bright colored, sometimes look at how many supplements you're taking. Sometimes supplements can cause that. It should be mostly clear. You should be urinating frequently. Those are good signs that you're hydrated. There's another quick test that's pretty accurate. and I'll describe this for you. And you can even do it while I'm talking if you're not driving. If you're driving, don't do this. If you're not driving, you might want to just do this with me. Stand up, let your hands and your arms just hang down at your side. Take your left hand, leave your right hand just hanging loosely at your side, and see the veins on the back of your hand. They should be nice and prominent when you are holding it down like that. So take your left finger and press on those veins while you're holding it down and letting it hang. They bounce back really nice. They pop right back up. Now what I want you to do is take that right hand and raise it right straight out in front of you, just like you were going to point away from you, and leave it straight out. Many of you might already have a clue. I'm actually a little dehydrated right now. My veins almost kind of disappeared. I can just barely see them. And when I touch them now, they are flat. Holy cow. I'm dehydrated. I need to go get some water in. So there's a really good way of knowing. And you'll be surprised. Go drink some water. Sip some water over the next hour or two, and then redo that test, and you'll see the difference. You'll see what you're looking for. Mike, I'm on keto for about 6 weeks. Lost 22 pounds from 191 to 169, but now losing too much weight. I want to stay on keto, but need to keep my weight at about 175. I eat twice a day on the 18-6 schedule. Mike, try this. Add some good carbs back in. Some potatoes, all kinds, white, purple, sweet. Potatoes are good, starchy vegetables. You could add some fruit back in if you like fruit, berries, bananas, apples, whatever, and see if that slows down the weight loss. It works for me. I did lose too much as well. And especially if I get really active and stay on strict keto, I can lose way more weight than I want to. But I've been able to balance that out by going back to some more of those carbs that are okay, not grain-based, but fruit, vegetable, nut-based. I might eat more almond flour products, some more tortillas, because I can, and not gain weight. So give that a try. That should work for you. Ultimately, the best way, if you really want to gain weight, is resistance training. And that'll do two things for you. One, it'll increase your appetite, so you'll eat more. And two, it will start putting on muscle, which weighs more than fat anyway. From Tim, been following your advice for years and just wanted to say thanks. I found a new niche where when the shutdown started and made more money in the last 60 days than any other similar period in my life. Tim, I love that. Congratulations. And we need to be hoping more and more people can do what you do and what you did. That's how we're going to stimulate the economy. So kudos to you. And just in case anybody ever tries to make you feel guilty or you start to feel a little guilty, don't. We need people succeeding right now. And yes, I know lots of people are unemployed. Lots of people are hurting. Lots of people are hungry and worried. The best thing we can do for those people is get our ass back to work and get our ass back to being profitable. Then we can go buy things and that'll stimulate the economy. Don't let anybody guilt you because you're doing good at this time, really. Again, congratulations, I love that. From Greg, no employees, I'm an independent. Greg, I'm not sure how your loan got processed that way. Somebody screwed up. You should not be getting $37,000, it doesn't sound like, because it's not the gross. It is absolutely the net. I would reach back out to your bank, whoever helped you process this. And here's the other thing. Go take it, stick it in an account right now. Don't touch it, obviously. If you need to spend the $10,000 or the amount that you know is correct, go ahead. The others, just leave it there till you can get an answer from somebody. And then ultimately, you'll probably end up needing to give it back to them. So stick it in an account. Don't spend it. And then start asking whoever you worked with what you should do about this, because I haven't seen that addressed yet. From the Kiefer family, my husband was diagnosed with hemochromatosis. His doctor told him he shouldn't eat keto. I've done some research, and proponents of both keto and the carnivore diet say it's actually better for patients with this condition. Any advice? Yeah, just in general, here's what I want you to think about. When a doctor says he shouldn't eat keto, here's what I want you to ask the doctor. What should he eat then? Because if he's not going to eat a specific diet like keto, then by default, he's going to eat the standard American diet. Well, that's what causes all these health problems. So that never makes any sense when I hear a doctor say, you have this health condition, you shouldn't eat keto. Well, then what should I eat? Because what I've been eating gave me the health condition. So give me some other advice. And the thing is, they don't have any other advice. Or they'll give you the old standard tired advice. Eat the pyramid or the my plate, or that's what got us here. So I also believe that paleo, keto, carnivore, AIP, all of the therapeutic diets based in paleo, I don't care what your medical condition is, you should be eating one of those diets. Chaz, what are some of the causes of heart palpitations? First off, we have to know if it's a true palpitation. Is it a disruption in the heart rhythm itself, the electrical? Is it anxiety? Could be a bunch of things. So what are some of the causes? Mineral imbalance can cause your heart to flutter and can cause some disruption in the electrical signal. So mineral balance is important. Gut bacteria is actually important in this. Stress levels can have an impact on this. But again, in order to know, we'd have to know exactly what those palpitations are. And then we could look to find the root cause. Again, it could be electrical, mineral balance. There are a couple different things that could cause this. All right, it is looking like that is all the questions we have for today.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump in on that hemochromatosis question. So that was a complicated one, because that one truly is a genetic component problem. There is a genetic variant involved with hemochromatosis that does not allow the body to properly metabolize and rid of iron. So we can see really high iron in the body. And this becomes a problem because iron rusts. It's very oxidative, which can create a lot of problems in the body. So a paleo or keto or even carnivore diet could, in theory, still be okay for hemochromatosis. It could also be really bad. But that could be any diet, because it's really based on iron content. Now, again, the general meat consumption that you see in these communities is red meat. And you do have to be careful there, because it is a very high iron content in general. So it could be one of the things that's interesting. I believe it's bison is actually not very high in iron. So I believe I had a classmate of mine going through the NTA who had hemochromatosis. And I believe, if I remember right, she got a lot of her red meat from bison, because you do still get a lot of that nutrient dense quality. But it does tend to be lower in iron, if I remember right. But this is one of those situations where working with a functional medicine doctor can be really effective, because by the time hemochromatosis generally gets diagnosed, someone's pretty far along. Their iron numbers and their ferritin numbers, which is stored iron, is really high. And there's a lot of inflammation and oxidative stress. Giving blood can be a great way to bring that down and manage it, because you're basically just getting rid of that excess iron that way. And so that's one of the reasons why they test for it. So oftentimes you can't necessarily just go give blood in the beginning. They have to just take blood, and it's not for donation. So you can do that medically. But definitely working with a functional medicine doctor, because we want to make sure the iron isn't becoming a problem and that inflammation and things are getting under control.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And that's kind of the same advice we would give anytime there's a medical condition that needs to be addressed. We still believe, no matter what the medical condition is, real food in one form or another, some hunter-gatherer-based diet but we might tweak that specific diet. Because you're right. If we go back to this question and the doctor says you shouldn't eat keto, but the doctor really isn't addressing the issues of iron and those other things, and they may steer you down the wrong path of just avoiding some of the foods you should be eating, where a good functional medicine practitioner can say, no, we still need to eat real food, and here's the way we'll deal with this problem. So thank you for that. Last comment I see here from Kay, the Rutherfords do so much for us. How can we help y'all? Kay, you already do. You support us. And that's all we ask for from our tribe. Really, you don't have to do anything out of the ordinary. We don't feel like we do anything out of the ordinary. We just do what we do to run a good business. All the things I teach, that's what we do here. And I don't think we go really above and beyond. We provide value. People see the value. They work with us and buy things from us. And that's a wonderful relationship. And that's really all we ask. You know, we've said many times, we understand you might be able to buy some of these products cheaper. You might be able to get them at a store where you don't have to wait for shipping. We get all that. So every time I see an order in our store, I'm thankful for that. That to me is somebody who appreciates the value we provide and then supports us. So thank you for thinking of us that way and wanting to know what else you can do to help. I appreciate that. But it's why I love the free market so much. We'll continue to put out what we believe are great products and services. You continue to buy those, and it's a win-win for all of us. And the more you support us, the more we'll try to keep giving back. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. For Mike, you've changed my life for the better. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike. Really, and you're welcome. I hope that the way we run our company and the things we do, and we don't always get it right. We make mistakes too. When we do, we try to make them right. But I really hope that the way we run our company is an example of why I believe in the free market. And I just think if we do more of this, all of us, if we're in a business, how do we provide more value to our customers? Then our customers appreciate us and support us even more. We need that now in this country more than ever. We need people to say, look, I get it that the Chinese product, when I buy it at Walmart, is really cheap and I can buy 10 of them instead of just one. But I think we can also see what that's done to weaken our economy now. And it's put us in a really bad position. So I'm leaning a little more towards some protectionism for our economy right now. Let's go pay $8 a dozen for local eggs, if that's what it takes. Let's go spend $12 a pound on beef if we have to support the local farmers. So I hope the way we're working and the way our tribe interacts with us is just a good example of where our economy could go from this. Maybe that is the silver lining in this cloud we're dealing with right now. From Michael, Prevost versus Super C Motorhome, what's your opinion? Did Lisa put you up to this? Michael? Type in there. I'm just wondering. That's such a strange question based on what Lisa just brought to me a little while ago. Lisa just actually brought me.
To do with it, but it is kind of ironic.
Isn't that funny? Lisa just brought me a really cool Super C that she spec'd out herself and was wondering if we should think about getting one of those next. It's certainly a lot less expensive. The Super C is a lot less expensive. If you like driving a truck and you know, getting back to that feeling of having a truck under me and an engine under me, which is the way I drove a million miles, there's something about that. But I can also tell you this, that after having a coach and not listening to the engine all day long, it's kind of nice. kind of nice up there on that coach. It's got a nice, comfortable ride. It's quiet. You know, if you're going to spend a lot of time driving them, there's a lot to be said. Now, again, I'm not, you know, Prevo, you're looking at, you know, $1.5 million to get started on a Prevo. So if you've got that kind of budget, I guess you have just about any choice you want. I honestly, I'm not a big fan of Prevo. I would, if I were going to spend that kind of money on a coach, I may be looking at more like a Newell coach or a Marathon, build on a Prevo chassis. But so many of them, they don't put the generator up front on the Prevos because there's no room. So now the generator ends up in the back on one of your side boxes and you lose a lot of space. There were some other things about the Prevo setup that I'm not totally sold on. Hell, honestly, if I could, I'd love to go buy a Volvo bus chassis with a Volvo driveline and have a really nice coach made out of that. That would be a project. But I could also have a lot of fun with a Super C. The whole thing about, you know, having the truck chassis. But, you know, I got to say, there's something about not sitting on top of that engine all day long. Let's see. One more. Are the inflammation kit and immune system kit too many supplements to take at one time? Inflammation and immune. I'm trying to think of what's in both of those. Lowering inflammation is definitely a good thing right now. So, and building your immune system is a good thing. I would say I'd give it a shot. And if you're not, if you take all the supplements and you're not seeing any real side effects or downside, then keep doing it. If you're getting, you know, upset stomach, nausea, restlessness, any other symptoms that you didn't have before, then maybe it is too much. I would probably back off. But these are just nutrients. So for the most part, you know, we'd rather spread them out. But I also realize people are a little worried about their health right now and they want to fix as many things as they can. So I would say give it a try. And also, I'll ask Michael to jump back in on that one. Michael, any thoughts on that? I've had two questions about taking two kits at a time. And I didn't go look at, you know, each one specifically. We've created so many kits recently. I don't think there was a problem with either one of those. What do you think?
No. So generally, like you said earlier, there's not necessarily going to be any contraindications with them. Sometimes you can get into some nutrient overloads. Specifically though, you know, I'd have to look at them individually and kind of break them down. With the previous question, which was the immune support kit and the fat digestion kit, because what is unique about our fat digestion kit apart from our other digestive kits is it does involve a lot of nutrients because we're supporting so much of the liver. Whereas our other kits primarily focus on enzymes and things like that. So sometimes we can get into some pretty high amounts of certain nutrients. You don't see that with the firefighter kit because that one is all kind of botanicals and things like that. There's some vitamin D. So, you know, you would get vitamin D from both of those. Sometimes it's easier or better to maybe not buy them as kits. Maybe buy this because you might have some crossover as of product and things like that. Or if you're like, man, you know, it just starts to get into a lot. We don't want you to feel overwhelmed. And so that can be a really good time. You might end up even saving money by doing a consult and we can discuss. Like maybe we kind of break those up and it's not the kits and figure out what's going to work best for you.
Yeah. I was going to mention that. So thank you for that. That if you're worried about that, you may just want to do a quick one-on-one and then we could go through and tweak and say, look, this kid had vitamin D and this one had vitamin D. Don't double it up. Just take vitamin D once a day. And we could look, like you said, some of those supplements can get pretty intimidating with a lot of nutrients in there, but that's what we're here for, to help you with that. So for the most part, probably not a problem. Oh, missed this one. Had a question back here. Can you help me with heartburn? Absolutely, we can. What I want you to do is go to the website, letstruck.com. Look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see the magnifying glass icon. Click on that and then type in PPI and look up our, or type in rebuilding. And you'll see a blog post we have, rebuilding your stomach acid. Now, it is specifically to help somebody who suffered from heartburn and was on PPIs. But there's a lot of good information in there about what causes heartburn. Again, if you look at any of this stuff and you're still confused, that's why we offer the one-on-one. So we can quickly go in and get right to the point and help you with that specific issue. All right, that is going to wrap it up for the day. Turned out to be a great webinar. Thank you all for great questions. And we will do it again next week. And I keep hoping that one of these weeks, I'm going to open this thing up and say, I've got it. Here's a plan. Here's what I think we should be doing. Maybe it'll be next week. Have a great weekend. Try to relax and stay free. Everybody's staying safe. Everybody is now all of a sudden saying stay safe. Yeah, I think we need to focus on freedom a little bit more. So stay free, and we will see you Monday on the show, and we'll see you back here again next week for another Positive Matters. Be safe, be free, be profitable. Always do the hard work, master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford.